He stepped outside to see me, but when I told him why I'd come, he laughed and told me I'd get over it. "But if you want, come to services before you fight next time," the chaplain said. "That way you can kill men in a state of grace." He thought the joke was very funny. He went back inside to repeat it to the others. So I turned to my pen pals. I had kept up with all of the people I had promised to write, and now I ventured to share my confusion with a few of them. In essence, they all wrote back the same thing. "You're fighting for your country, Andrew, so the rest doesn't count." One person alone said more than this. Teal. Teal wrote to me about guilt. That part of her letters spoke straight to my own wretchedness. But then she went on to talk about forgiveness, and there she lost me. My sense of guilt was wrapped around me like a chain, and nothing that I did, drinking, fighting, writing letters or reading them, nothing seemed to ease its stranglehold upon me. And then one day, when I was on leave in Jakarta, walking through the bazaar, I spotted a little gibbon. He was sitting on top of the pole eating some fruit, and as I went by he jumped onto my shoulder and handed me a section of orange. I laughed, and that was all it took for the excellent Indonesian salesman to come running. "Sir, the monkey likes you." I laughed again. The gibbon blinked twice very deliberately, and then showed me his teeth in what could have been a grin. "How much?" And that is how I came to acquire a monkey. I took him back to the barracks with me. At first, the other boys were fascinated. "Does he bite?" "Only crooks," I said. It was a senseless remark, meaning nothing, but no sooner had I said it than the monkey jumped out of my arms, swung along the rafters, and landed, of all the places in the room he could have chosen, on the head of a heavyset guy who had been winning more at poker than averages allowed. He crabbed sideways, flailing his arms, trying to knock the monkey off his head. The whole barracks was shouting.
"Get him off me!" Jan Zwart shouted. "Get him off!"
I reached out my hand, and the monkey ran to me. Jan smoothed his hair and tucked in his shirt, but his eyes were murderous.
"I'll kill him," he said quietly.
So on the same day I gained one friend and lost another. I hadn't had the monkey many weeks before I noticed that his stomach seemed to be hurting him. One day, while carrying him, I felt what seemed like a welt around his waist. I put him down on the bed and told him to lie still. Carefully, I pulled back the hair until I saw what it was. Evidently, when the gibbon had been a baby, someone had tied him with a piece of wire and never taken it off. As the monkey grew, the wire became embedded in his flesh. It must have caused him terrible pain. That evening, I began the operation. I took my razor and shaved off the monkey's hair in a 3-inch wide swathe around his middle.